WGXE Acra, 90.7 on your dial. Also online at wavefarm.org/WGXE.
Hello, I'm Reverend Kim L. Singletary, pastor for the Overcomers Ministries International Church of Hudson, New York, inviting you to listen to There's a Bright Side Somewhere every first and third Wednesday of the month. We'll be featuring a diverse offering of gospel music from across the wide Christian music spectrum. If you like listening to the tried and true and want to hear some new music too, I have all of that right here for you. Special studio guests join me to share their stories and views, and I bring it with my own spiritual social commentary relevant for today. So join me as I host There's a Bright Side Somewhere every first and third Wednesday at 11 o'clock a.m. right here on WGXC 90.7 FM.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no...
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network.
You've tuned in to All Together Now, WGXC's regional look at the news from Hudson Valley and the Capital Region, from the Catskills to the Berkshires and beyond. I'm Tom Rowe, and today you'll hear all sorts of local news updates, weather, interviews, and more, plus community events and the song of the day on All Together Now.
This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the news. This is the news. This is the network, network.
On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is Daily News and Weather Report.
We take you now to
this radio broadcast.
You are tuned in to All Together Now, a collaborative one-hour news show for community radio stations in the Capital Region and New York's Hudson Valley. All Together Now features contributions from the public, along with programmers at WOOC in Troy and WGXE in Acre, featuring local and regional news, weather updates, and newsmaker interviews. Next, the national headlines from Public News Service.
The Public News Service Daily Newscast for Tuesday, June the 17th, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. Four former First Ladies take issue with separating kids from families at the border. Also on the rundown, Nebraska struggles to deliver summer meals for kids. And there are resilient rural counties in the USA. Topping our news, Rosalynn Carter added her voice to the choir of political figures speaking out against the Trump administration's zero-tolerance immigration policy. Time reports all four living First Ladies have now publicly come out against the controversial policy, which separates children from their parents as families try to cross the border into the U.S. Time says that Carter called the practice of removing children from their parents disgraceful and a shame to our country. The old saying goes that sunlight is the best disinfectant. A new bill in the Michigan legislature would shine a light on big companies that pay their workers so little that they qualify for government-funded health care.
House Bill 6146, the Fair Share Health Care Disclosure Act, would require the State Department of Health and Human Services to publish an annual list of the 50 companies with the most employees on Medicaid. State Representative Patrick Green says taxpayers end up footing the bill when companies skimp on wages and benefits.
And if those benefits are not being provided by the employer and then transferred over to the state, how do I then balance between corporate tax rates versus fighting for the working public?
Green says the list would be particularly useful for lawmakers deciding whether to give corporate tax breaks. He notes last session the legislature approved several corporate tax cuts, then recently established a work requirement for Medicaid recipients. Opponents of the bill say it isn't helpful to publicly shame companies that may be struggling to pay a living wage. I'm Suzanne Potter.
Michigan's minimum wage is set to increase to $10 an hour next year. And the state of Nebraska continues to rate near the bottom compared to other states for getting nutritious meals to kids when school cafeterias close for the summer. Eric Alatis reports, as according to a new report from the Food Research and Action Center.
Sometimes families don't know about summer meal programs or can't get to a meal site. Eric Saviano with the group Nebraska Appleseed says there's a lot of room for improvement. He notes summer meal programs are a critical bridge for many kids, especially from families that rely on free and reduced price breakfast and lunch during the school year.
But we know that hunger does not quit when schools are out. So these summer food service sites are critical to helping kids stay healthy over the summer and just keep kids moving and active.
Last year, fewer than 10% of Nebraska kids who relied on school lunches received summer meals. Saviano says the state is working to address the issue, and 350 sites are now serving meals, up from 245 last year. They include schools, recreation centers, libraries, YMCAs, churches, and parks, and are free for ages 18 and under. Organizations that want to help serve meals should contact the Nebraska Department of Education. I'm Eric Galatis.
The report found nationwide just 3 million kids ate a nutritious summer lunch on an average weekday last year. That's compared to 20 million kids who participated in the school lunch program. Saving Energy in Arkansas is giving the state money to spend in its economic sector. Stephanie Carson reports today industry experts will join local and state leaders at the Arkansas Energy Performance Contracting Summit taking place in Little Rock.
The AEPC program has saved public entities in the state more than $120 million since 2014 and enables municipalities, universities, and state agencies to improve energy efficiency with no upfront cost. Katie Niebaum with the Arkansas Advanced Energy Association says tomorrow's summit is expected to generate additional projects in future years.
It's really been a success story here in Arkansas that is creating jobs, saving taxpayer dollars, and conserving energy.
According to the Arkansas Advanced Energy Foundation, nearly 700 companies employing 16,000 Arkansans are employed in the advanced energy economy, which aims to reduce the energy requirement needed to sustain the same level of service. The effort is made possible by the 2013 Guaranteed Energy Cost Savings Act that allows public entities to pursue energy performance contracts that will maximize the energy used by the state.
And finally, the population in rural counties in states like South Dakota continues to decline, according to the U.S. Census Bureau. But Ross Brown reports some rural towns are finding ways to boost resilience and keep young people from moving to larger cities.
Jessica Schad with South Dakota State University studies rural population patterns and says rural communities are not homogenous. According to her research, the most resilient communities are those with the lowest income disparity and those with employers who put profits back into the community by investing in their schools or sports teams.
That has a really important role to play in making it feel like it's a good place for people to live and that it's still a place with a high quality of life.
U.S. Census Bureau data showed more than 160 South Dakota rural communities had either flat or declining populations between 2010 and 2017. I'm Roz Brown.
Schad notes that declining rural populations also affect politics, noting that Republican votes for President Trump were highest in places undergoing the most significant economic transitions. I'm Mike Clifford. Thanks for Newsom and Cruiser with Public News Service. We're member and listener supported, and we're online at publicnewsservice.org.
Here is the regional weather forecast for the Hudson Valley and Capital Region.
The National Weather Service in Albany predicts a sunny Tuesday with a high near 77 and a low around 54, sunny Wednesday with a high near 77 and a low around 55, and a sunny Thursday with a high near 75 and a low around 52. Tom Rowe for WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, listener-supported Creative Community Radio.
Consider making a donation to the WGXC Spring Pledge Drive, Summer Pledge Drive, 518-697-7400. You can't tell if it's spring or summer around here. 518-697-7400 is the number to call, or go online to wgxc.org/donate and make a donation to keep local radio live and local.
When you're tired of your toys and of your games and of the television, when you're done with chores and homework, then it's time to make a big decision. You might need a change of scenery. It might be time to go over mountains, over oceans, through dark jungles down below. On an airplane, on a railroad, on a tall ship with a tide, all you need's a little music. How's about it? What do you say we buckle up and go for a little ride?
That was Ulster County's Medeski, Martin, and Wood with Let's Go Everywhere, local music on the radio.
Tune in to All Together Now, WGXC's collaborative hour-long news show at 6 p.m., featuring local and regional news, weather updates, and newsmaker interviews. Tune in to learn more about the issues that affect communities throughout the Capital Region and the Hudson Valley, from the Catskills to the Berkshires.
All together now.
Thursday, June 14th, activists and local citizens gathered in Hudson's public square for a rally protesting the separation of children from their families by the Trump administration of immigrants coming into the country. There'll be another event there on June 30th, part of a nationwide series of events. It's 11 a.m. June 30th at Hudson's Public Square at the corner of 7th Street and Warren Street in Hudson. Here's some of the audio from that June 14th rally.
That Trump and his administration has been throwing at my community. The punch that Jeff Sessions threw with his zero tolerance bullshit, because he he wants to eliminate asylum for victims and domestic of domestic abuse and gang violence. And also he wants to impose criminal penalties of Central American families when caught crossing the border. I felt the punch that the federal authorities threw when they lost track of nearly 1,500 children. The death of Claudia, the 20-year-old indigenous woman that was killed by CBP. It is obvious, and we all know that these are all tactics made to scare immigrants and to intimidate them. It is clear that they are trying their hardest to break us. But you know what my people are? They are fighters. Resilience runs through our veins. You see, my community are like wildflowers that grow in abandoned parking lots. We will always find a way to grow and flourish in the worst environment conditions. We will move forward, because what do we do when our communities are under attack?
They
Stand up, fight back!
What do we do?
Stand up, fight back!
What do we do when our neighbors are under attack?
Stand up, fight back!
Thank you. Now I'm going to present Michael Schmiede.
This neighborhood, the Hudson's Third Ward, the Board of Supervisors. So, when my relative came to the U.S., Moritz Markowitz, he helped found the Kilcher Society. It was a society that helped his fellow immigrants from Poland who were suffering from religious persecution. When they arrived in the U.S., he helped them find jobs and get settled in the country. And that's a basic foundation of how things work here. So you have family, and you have community, and you have community organizations. We work together to help each other. And what the federal government is doing right now is the complete opposite. It's tearing families apart. It's cruel. It's a waste of resources. When we should be spending money helping people, we're actually spending money to hurt people. But we get it. That's why we're here today. We're gathering together as a community because we know that as a family and as a community, we're in this together. And we're in this with the people at the border. So that means that not only are we gonna gather today, it also means that we support organizations like the Columbia County Sanctuary Movement. It means that we support the Green Light campaign so people can get driver's licenses regardless of citizenship status. And it means that we fight to get elected officials who will really represent us and represent immigrant justice. So that means when people are running for office, you're going to ask them, how are you going to support immigrant rights? And when people are getting involved with voting, that we're always questioning that. How can we support more elected officials who really represent us at the local level, at the state level, and at the federal level? So thank you all for coming here today, and keep up the fight.
Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. My name is Louis Jumblam, and I came from Port Chester, New York, Westchester County. I'm part of the Hudson Valley Community Coalition, and we are living in very difficult times. Our immigrant community, and not just the immigrant community, the neighbors across the United States living in very difficult and dark times. Hate, racism, discrimination is everywhere. This is not the America wanted. Separate families, put children away from the parents is not the America that we wanted. A lot of families from Westchester County, a lot of fathers from Westchester County now detained in different jails across the United States. We have here one parent, Cristobal, and another one who now in Alabama jail. Other immigrants in Louisiana. We are going to, with a caravan the next week to Washington, D.C. to say is enough the pain with our community. That's why I'm here to say thank you very much to every one of you who support our community. Because the Great America is when we come together and fight together against all this unjust system that is now in the United States. Thank you very much. And together we can change the system. Together we can make America great, living together as a brother, as a sister, as a neighbor, as a friend. Thank you very much. God bless you, everyone. Thank you. Saludos! This day I stay here for two reasons. And one reason is for support the kid. No more separation of the family. Right. We don't want it, no more separation of the family.
No more.
It's a very, very difficult, very sad. I visit the family in Catskill and everywhere, in Hillsdale, and a farm worker. And the people is difficult situation. When your dad, when your mom is deported, it's very difficult for the kid. When my mom going for other reasons, my heart very sad. It's the problem, the human right for the kid. The adult survival is no problem. The problem is the kid. This is your heart. Your heart. Your life. This is where is my dad? Where is my mom? Disappear. Where? Who is the responsible for this problem? It's a system. Don't want to change the law. Why? Every year, we going to the parking demonstration, we going to the Washington, and lobby, and talking the senator, and talking the ensemble, and no change. Never. Why? Yeah, this is a question. Why? We need it. The citizens, the United States need to change the law. Need to press the government. Need to press the assembly. Need to press the senator. Need to press the president everywhere. Woo! We have the power. You have the power. Right now, when it's the election, one is my vote. No? Say one. Give me the bottle, please. Why? You change the law? I said yes. Today, when is the election finish? Forget it. And other time, going to demonstration, going to the need it. Right now, we need it. Decision. My decision is no more separation of the family. No more separation of the kids. And I have the compromise. And you need a compromise.
Imagine me and you, I do. I think about you day and night. It's only right to think about the girl you love and hold her tight. So happy together. If I should call you up, invest a dime, and you say you belong to me and ease my mind, imagine how the world would be so very fine. So happy together. See me loving nobody but you for all my life. When you're with me, maybe the skies will be.
You're listening to WGXC 90.7.
You're listening to WGXC
Catskill
90.7.
You're listening to WGXC
Catskill 90.7.
You're listening to WGXC
Catskill
90.7.
You're listening to WGXC.
WGXC believes in creative use of the airwaves. WGXC is a program division of the nonprofit arts organization Wave Farm, based in Acre, New York. We are the only station in the country to dedicate significant airtime to radio as an artistic medium. Tune in to transmission art and experimental sound programming overnight and on Saturdays, and hear artists from all over the world who sculpt and compose with the airwaves. Wave Farm's WGXC broadcasts to New York's Upper Hudson Valley on 90.7 FM and streams to the world on WGXC.org.
Underwriting support is provided by Tobacco-Free Action of Columbia and Greene Counties, working to protect children from tobacco marketing in stores. The more kids see, the more likely they are to smoke. To learn more and find out how you can help, visit www.seenenoughtobacco.org.
We're covering the immigration issue again, with the Trump administration separating children from their families of immigrants coming into the country. We're going to first hear a few minutes of audio that ProPublica made of the children in the detention centers in Texas. Then we'll hear Senator Chuck Schumer from New York on the Senate floor on June 18th.
Bueno, aquí tenemos una orquesta.
No me quiero separar de mi padre. Ese es el número de el nombre de ella, ese es el número de identificación para cuando sí, ese número guárdelo. Sí, bueno. Adiós. Cualquier pregunta, no deje de llamarme hoy. Me marca acá y me da la dirección donde está, porque yo solo tengo el nombre del lugar. Pero a usted le van a dar todo hoy. Bueno.
Entonces borra el cero. Borra el cero.
Ya me lo dio con tu
nombre. Me está de aquí a 7 horas.
Me abro, por favor.
¿Ya va? Escuche, corazón. Ay, qué difícil. Qué difícil. ¿De dónde son ustedes?
De Guatemala.
¿Y tú?
Guatemala.
No llores. Vas a llegar con... Mira, ella te va a explicar y te va a ayudar. ¿Cierto, consul?
Te va a pasar con su consulado, ¿eh?
El papá. Papá.
Yo
ay, con mi tía por lo menos porque después llegué mi mami.
¿Me puedes abrir la puerta? Ahí me cerró la puerta.
Ay, no, que me venga a traer mi tía. Ay, no, para llevarme la
ella, ella llama a tu tía si tú tienes el número y habla con tu tía.
Tengo el número de ella.
Ah, pues ahorita ella te ayuda para que hable. Ya, cálmate nada más.
No, papá.
Voy por aquí, niña.
Papá.
Cuando saquen la comida, ¿verdad?
Ay, no, sí. Papá.
Cuando que me venga.
Ya voy a llegar yo cuando esté allá.
Ya le voy a meter a comer.
Ay, papá, papá.
Si tiene una celda, me la da, por favor.
Ay, no, papá.
Si se quiere juntar con ella, se junta aquí, porque voy a tener
que... Ay, no, papá.
O me la pone allá mejor. Allá en la orillita.
Ay, no, papá.
Me ama. No, voy a tener que ser aquí, mira, porque voy a meter Jenny y se vaya.
No, no, papá.
No,
papá.
Porque está pasando.
No, papá. Papá.
Porque todas las personas
van a ir a
la hilera. Como dos de tres y allá.
No, papá.
Me dijeron que.
Ay, no, papá.
El otro grupo de
mujeres.
No. No. Es para. No,
ay, papá.
Por eso no puedo tener nada. Okay. Porque luego viene ahí y ahí agarra pared.
Ay, no, papá.
Voy a llamar a mi tía para que después de comer me venga a recoger.
Cuando agarre la comida ya voy a venir para que le.
Ay, no, papá.
Tengo el número yo de memoria 3462.
Ay, no, papá. Ay, no, papá.
Yo también me quiero ir.
¿Y su mami dónde quedó? ¿Dónde quedó su mami?
En una casajera.
¿Dónde quedó su mami? ¿Dónde?
En Honduras.
¿Dónde se quedaron su papá, su mamá? ¿Viene con papá usted? ¿Y usted viene con mamá? ¿Y su mamá también?
Yo vengo con papá. Voy a llamar al menos a mi tía para que me venga a recoger.
Ay, no,
y después para que llegue mi mami lo más pronto posible.
No, claro con papá. Claro con papá.
Le voy a dar el número.
Claro con papá.
Solo la voy a ver si lo está.
Ya le dijeron.
Ella
ya sabe. Es que le voy a poner a los de la Pascua. Lo voy a comer a todos para que coman acá de este lado, así para que no me pase algo por acá. Así cuando entre la gente de Palbán, no, este lado.
Okay. Para que
no
lo... Entonces las niñas me van a quedar allá.
¿Quién? ¿Las qué?
Las niñas de... Es porque me quiero reunir con las niñas del Salvador.
Bueno, se puede.
Ay, no,
papá. Lo voy a poner a comer allá, allá, allá.
Ah, ok.
Porque aquí no quiero, porque primero me voy, quiero reunir con las niñas chiquititas.
No one should be allowed into this country who doesn't meet legal requirements. We cannot have open borders. But we have an adjudication process for those cases. In the past, there's been no need to separate parents from children while that adjudication is occurring. The Trump administration has actively decided to take a different, crueler, more callous approach. And yet, what does President Trump do? He has spent the last few days trying to deflect blame. The president has said repeatedly that the separation of parents and children is the result of a law, quote, Democrats forced upon our nation. That is just not true. Allow me to quote from the Associated Press, nonpartisan fact check of the president's claim. Here's what they say, quote, there is no law mandating the separation of children and parents at the border. The separations are a consequence of a Trump administration policy to maximize criminal prosecutions of people caught trying to enter the U.S. illegally. Trump's repeated but non-specific references to a democratic law appears to involve one enacted in 2008. It passed unanimously in Congress, that meant Democrats and Republicans supported it, and was signed by President George W. Bush, hardly a Democrat. It focuses on freeing and otherwise helping children who come to the border without a parent or guardian or guarding. It does not call for family separation. Now, I know what Donald Trump will say as he tries to undo our American institutions. That's fake news. It's the Associated Press, which has had a reputation of being down the middle for scores of years. So let me quote the New York Post editorial board, one of the most conservative newspapers in America, hard right. Here's what they say. The immediate cause of the crisis is Team Trump's decision to start prosecuting illegal border crossers rather than simply deporting them. And in the editorial, they ought to go on and say to President Trump, fix this problem, stop blaming Democrats. They're not to blame. President Trump and Attorney General Sessions announced this zero tolerance policy in April. It went into effect in May. If there was a law requiring it, why hasn't it been going on since Trump became president? They just started it. Chief of Staff Kelly called the policy a tough deterrent. This is nothing to do with our current immigration laws. It has nothing to do with any democratic law. It's entirely a decision made by the Trump administration to start separating families. So let me say this to President Trump. President Trump, you can undo the policy tomorrow if you want to, with a snap of your fingers. And President Trump, if you don't want to change the policy, own up to it and defend it, instead of blaming somebody falsely. Either reverse it, which you can do, Mr. President, or own up to it. But this idea, oh, well, it's Democrats to blame. False and untrue, and not showing much strength or courage of conviction. Healthcare. Over the past few months, several insurers in several states, Maryland, Virginia, New York, Pennsylvania, and Oregon, have requested significant rate increases for the next year. The result of Republican healthcare policies that have undermined our healthcare system. But on Friday, the state of Minnesota saw a decrease in their rates. Now, why? What made Minnesota so different than the other states? Why were the people of Minnesota allowed to breathe a sigh of relief that their insurance costs weren't going up, whether it be the monthly payment or the deductible or the copayment? Why? I'll tell you why. Minnesota implemented a state-funded reinsurance program that's helping backstop their health care market. This is what can happen when states support patients and fight back against what President Trump and congressional Republicans are doing. This is what happens when you try to strengthen our health care system instead of sabotaging it. Imagine if every state were like Minnesota. Imagine if every state, for the first time in decades, was dropping premiums and out-of-pocket costs for consumers next year. Think about what a difference that would make in the lives of tens of millions of Americans who pay too much for health care and worry that both their health care bills are going to go up and the quality of their health care and availability of their health care will go down. It wouldn't have been that difficult to achieve the goals of Minnesota. We spent months negotiating a bipartisan health care stabilization package that included ideas like the reinsurance policy that's been implemented in Minnesota. Senator Nelson from Florida talked about this, wanted to do it. Our Republican friends wouldn't. Senator Murray and Alexander came to an agreement. It would have done a load of good. But rather than pass a bill to strengthen our health care system, even after they tried, the Republicans tried and failed to repeal the ACA, the Republicans doubled down on sabotage. They just hate the system, the idea that people should get help from their government so much, but they make it worse. As part of the tax bill, Republicans repealed the coverage requirement and put nothing in its place. Then they added poison pills to the bipartisan bill to make sure it wouldn't pass. When President Trump canceled the program that helps offset costs for low-income Americans and proposed expanding junk insurance plans, you pay a lot and get very little, our Republican colleagues hardly made a peep. Recently, the administration says it will refuse to defend in court protection for Americans with pre-existing.
Tell my throat, this isn't From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Graham. Amanda Purcell is reporting for Columbia Green Media. Police arrested Hudson resident Mohammed H. Morshed early June 18th in connection with the shooting death of 19-year-old Enderly Instanfil the previous night. Hudson Police Chief L. Edward Moore said Instanfil of Philmont was shot about 8:18 p.m. June 17th in an apartment building at 20 Fairview Avenue near the Stewart Shop at the intersection of Green Street. Instanfil, who previously lived in Hudson, presumably died from a gunshot wound to the neck. The results of an autopsy are forthcoming. Morshed was taken into custody in Kingston. The shooting occurred less than 2 weeks after a series of raids were conducted by Hudson and Greenport and later billed as a preemptive strike intended to keep the city streets safe this summer. Various incidents of targeted violence occurred at locations on Hudson's north side in August 2017. The disturbances ended following a series of federal arrests later in the year. And you can read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Jimmy Vilken is reporting for Politico New York. Stephanie Miner, the former mayor of Syracuse and a longtime critic of Governor Andrew M. Cuomo, has announced that she will create the Serve America Movement Party and run on that line for governor in November. Miner said in a press release, and I quote, "I'm running to change the culture of cynicism. Nobody believes Albany has their best interest at heart. Everybody knows you have to pay to play. They think the system is rigged, and they're not wrong," end quote. She has called for an increase in state money for infrastructure programs and been a staunch critic of Cuomo's economic development policies, including facilities built by SUNY Polytechnic Institute that are the focus of a federal trial this week. According to the New York Times, Miner has discussed financial support with Joe Rose, a former aide to Senator Daniel Patrick Moynihan, as well as the larger Serve America movement, which was formed by people unhappy with the results of the 2016 election. And you can read that full story at Politico New York. The MidHudsonNews.com is reporting on a recent analysis of regional data showing that it is becoming more and more difficult to afford rent in the Hudson Valley with the level of income the average person or family is earning. Hudson Valley Pattern for Progress looked at data contained in the recently released National Low Income Coalition Annual Report, Out of Reach. In Columbia County, a family would have to earn $38,000 a year to afford a two-bedroom apartment costing $951 per month. Based on an hourly wage of $10.33 per hour, there would be a $414 monthly gap between income and rent. In Greene County, the story is similar, where the gap in rent is $460 per month. Joe Chyka, Senior Vice President of Pattern and Executive Director for the Center of Housing Solutions, said in all nine counties in the Hudson Valley, renters must work far more than a full-time job to afford the cost of a two-bedroom apartment. New York Alert is reporting the National Weather Service in Albany has issued a heat advisory for the region from 11 a.m. until 8 p.m. Monday. A heat advisory means that a period of hot temperatures is expected. A combination of hot temperatures and high humidity levels will result in the potential for heat-related illnesses if proper precautions are not taken. The National Weather Service advises drinking plenty of fluids, staying in an air-conditioned room if possible, staying out of the sun, and checking up on relatives and neighbors. National Grid is anticipating a high energy demand June 18th and have asked customers to reduce electric usage between 3 p.m. and 7 p.m. The utility recommends turning down thermostats by a few degrees, avoiding the use of large appliances and window air conditioners, and not running a pool pump or dehumidifier during peak hours. Bethany Bump is reporting for the Times Union that State Health Commissioner Howard Zucker said a study ordered by Governor Andrew M. Cuomo has recommended the legalization of marijuana for adult use in New York. He said at a meeting with medical marijuana practitioners in Brooklyn, and I quote, "I will finalize that report and obviously bring it to the governor," end quote. The Department of Health was ordered to study the public health, safety, and economic impact of a regulated marijuana trade statewide, as well as the impact that legalization in neighboring states would have. 9 states, including Massachusetts, Vermont, and Maine, as well as Washington, D.C., have legalized the drug, while New Jersey is exploring the possibility. Canada is on the verge of legalizing the drug. Zucker also announced June 18th that anyone with an opioid prescription can now qualify for the state's medical marijuana program, a move designed to prevent opioid addiction. And you can read the full story in the Times Union. This has been the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For weather reports, town meetings, and more information, use the WGXC website, wgxc.org.
Time is running out for action on some state bills important for New Yorkers with disabilities. The legislative session ends on Wednesday, but some bills that would help people with disabilities have yet to come up for a vote. Susan Dua, who heads the Center for Independence of the Disabled New York, says housing issues are at the top of the list. New York City has passed a law prohibiting source of income discrimination in housing. Now, Dua says, it's time for the state to act.
People with disabilities who have housing vouchers or housing subsidies find sometimes that a landlord is refusing to rent to them because of the kind of income they have.
Bill A-10610 has the support of Governor Andrew Cuomo, but it hasn't had a vote on the floor of the State Assembly, and the State Senate has yet to take up the issue. Dua says another challenge will be getting a state law encouraging the development of new housing with first-floor apartments that are affordable and accessible to people with disabilities.
That could help make a terrific difference for people who have trouble both affording housing and finding housing that meets their needs.
She says lack of accessible housing statewide has led to homelessness and the unnecessary institutionalization of people with disabilities who could be living independently. Earlier this year, the governor signed a law giving people with physical disabilities preference for available ground floor apartments in New York City Housing Authority buildings, something Dua points out can be critical when elevators are broken or during emergencies.
People with disabilities have been unable to evacuate from higher floors of NYCHA buildings, which has had terrible consequences for individuals.
Dua adds that the experience with Superstorm Sandy showed just how critical accessibility can be for people of all ages who have physical disabilities. For New York News Connection, I'm Andrea Sears.
Here is the regional weather forecast for the Hudson Valley and Capital Region.
The National Weather Service in Albany predicts a sunny Tuesday with a high near 77 and a low around 54, sunny Wednesday with a high near 77 and a low around 55, and a sunny Thursday with a high near 75 and a low around 52. Tom Rowe for WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, listener-supported Creative Community Radio.
Coming up on the WGXC 90.7 FM community program schedule for Tuesday, June 19th, WGXC's Radio Everywhere Pledge Drive continues. Pete Levensee will be launching a full day of broadcasting live from historic Catskill Point and Freightmasters Building. Starting off with the WGXC Morning Show, in the second hour, Pete will be joined by Rob Cassetti, Senior Director of Creative Strategy and Audience Engagement for the Corning Museum of Glass. He'll be there to discuss the museum's glass barge, its voyage up the Hudson River and New York waterways, and the events planned for its one-day port of call on June 19th at Catskill Point. James White is back at 11 for the Music Maestro Hour. He'll be joined by Reverend Kim Singletary, host of There's a Bright Side Somewhere, and Alan Scarrett, host of Crossroads in Rhythm. Later on at 2 o'clock on Catskill Cabin Conversations, Mike and Andy invited one of their earliest guests back to the Catskill Cabin for an update on their last conversation from 2013 for a special Radio Everywhere Pledge Drive broadcast. And later on in the evening after the news hour, Lillian Hornhorse with Lily Konigsberg and Matthew Norman, live from the WGXC Hudson studio from 7 to 9:30.
Tune in Transmission Arts on the air overnight in the early morning hours of Wednesday, June 20th, after the Battlefield Earth Show. Radio Stew at midnight, Vital Weekly with experimental music from Amsterdam at 1 a.m., and then the REM REO Indigo Chicago show from To Live and Shave in L.A.'s Tom Smith, 2 a.m. Overnight on the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM and Standing Wave Radio.
Consider making a donation to the WGXC Spring Pledge Drive, Summer Pledge Drive,
518-697-7400. You can't tell if it's spring or summer around here. 518-697-7400 is the number to call. Or go online to wgxc.org/donate and make a donation to keep local radio live and local.
There are so many events on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org, and you can add your own by pressing the Add an Event button right there on the page. If you do, folks like me will read your community event on the radio. Folks around the world will see it online at wgxc.org, including some of these events.
On Tuesday, June 19th, another show at Club Helsinki in Hudson. There's always so much going on there. On the Fly Story Slam is Tuesday, June 19th. This month's theme is secrets. Storytellers sign up for 5 minutes to tell a story based on a personal experience related to a specific theme. Secrets is this month's theme. Tuesday, June 19th, the Ichabod Crane Board of Education has a special meeting. Doesn't say here what the special meeting is about. But it's at 7 p.m. at Ichabod Crane High School. Durham has a town board meeting Tuesday, June 19th. Remember to take out your phone, make a recording, share it with your community, or do a live web stream with the WGXC app available for free in the App Store. Durham town board meeting at 7:30 p.m. at the Durham Town Hall, 7309 State Route 81. Wednesday, June 20th, there's a Catskill town board meeting. 6:30 p.m. at the Catskill Town Hall, 439 Main Street, and in partnership with the town of Catskill, WGXC will have a live web stream of the town meeting on the WGXC website. It'll also be on the town of Catskill website. Turn out or tune in to the Catskill Town Board meeting Wednesday, June 20th at 6:30 p.m.
There is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will tune it to a whisper. We will control the horizontal. We will control the vertical. We can roll the image, make it flutter. We can change the focus to a soft blur or sharpen it to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your television set. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
This is Echo. You are listening to WJFC Acra, Creative Community Magical Radio.
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, heard weekday mornings here at 8 o'clock on WGXC 90.7 FM. WGXC is hosting its pledge drive, and we need your support. Help keep hands-on creative community radio alive in your region by calling 518-697-7400. That's 518-697-7400. Or you can pledge online with your tax-deductible pledge at wgxc.org/donate. That's wgxc.org.